Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Floating.
There is no scientific reason this ship should have gravity. And yet...
Well, that's unnerving with a side of unsettling.
I don't understand. It's like everyone took a coffee break.
And never returned.
Do you hear that?
I don't hear anything. No hum of a warp core, no buzzing from life support, nothing.
Readings show no signs of radiation, virus, parasite, or unusual anomalies of any kind. For all intents and purposes, this ship is perfectly safe.
Right. Show of hands for anyone who feels safe on the Griffin.
This is Star Trek adjacent. Don't worry. Dan's giving me that look like, you better not be playing this whole thing, Patrick. It starts with LeVar Burton, right?
Got it.
Yeah. And that's an important message. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's not real.
Hands in the air like you don't care.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
We're almost there, Dan. We're almost to where we need to be.
Oh. Whoa.
What?
Word up.
Evidence. This is irrelevant.
It's a code word, Dan!
No.
I'm not joking, Lee.
All right.
We're dangerous.
Cameo.
I just think, you know, we just, this is a tricky episode.
I don't know how that was Star Trek adjacent.
Because.
Adjacent. Got LeVar Burton.
Dan's gotta replace his dentures. We'll do that at the break, though, because we gotta get moving. The video of the song Whirred Up by the artist Cameo. Starts, the radio edit doesn't, but the video starts with LeVar Burton playing a police detective using one of them megaphone things. And he's trying to tell Cameo, like, you're surrounded. And Cameo uses the power of music and specifically the code word, word up. Because when you say word up and you throw your hands in the air like you just don't care, the police are required to listen to you.
An excellent theory.
Yeah.
Right. They have to listen.
They have
That's
to listen.
That's how it's in the Constitution.
Okay, so welcome, everyone out there.
Welcome.
Listening. Welcome to...
To what, Patrick? What are we welcoming to do this week? What's it this week? It's so different every week. I never know what we're welcoming to be.
What it's called, you mean?
My skin is literally tingling with the built-up frustration of Dan, resulting in him being extremely clever and
potential
comical.
Possible.
With his delivery, his purposefully garbled delivery.
Garbled.
Yeah, because you were all like, blah, 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 blah.
Garbly,
when did I go
just now? I thought you did that on purpose. It was really good.
Did I garble?
Yeah, but it was a purposeful. It was kind of like a dismissive.
I understand. What's the problem?
You were conveying, you know, the blah, blah, blah. Anyway. Welcome.
Let's change that, shall we?
Welcome, everyone, to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
All right. Be prepared, right? Let's roll.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Everyone's at home is like, what is these fucking jackasses like laughing, giggling about?
That was unclear.
All right.
Okay. Curious.
All right. So it's this
freaking me out, man.
This is episode 350 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. And this week is there another one? Another ping? Two pings only.
Submarine Dan.
Yeah. Hunt for Red October. That was three pings.
How many?
Yeah. This week is episode 350.
Oh, what's a big 350, yo?
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Can you believe it?
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, pretty groovy. So episode 350.
On that, we are in agreement.
And this week, we are continuing our weekly coverage He gives me grief about playing Word Up by Cameo.
Jettisoning.
Wait, listen to her say jettisoning.
Jettisoning.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird. Instead of saying jettisoning.
I remember that one.
Okay.
But there's no shuttle log or reports of pods jettisoning. Jettisoning.
She added like another word.
You know, I hadn't noticed that. Is that for real, the recording?
Let me just play a couple times.
Jettisoning. 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 Jettisoning.
Jettisoning.
Was she had a little too much synthahol that day?
Oh, possible.
Hey, wobble, wobble.
An excellent theory.
This week, we got to get to the title of the episode.
Do we, though?
Well, I know it's important. So this week, we're...
Eventually.
Do they, though?
It's Strange New World, Season 4. We're continuing our weekly discussions and coverage of Season 4 of Strange New Worlds with the second episode.
Let's try that again, shall we?
The second episode of the fourth season, which is titled Event Horizon.
Oh, damn.
I know. Right? You got me.
Dan was all like,
everybody thought that.
I like when Dan gets a good, a real laugh out of Dan.
Event Horizon with a little less explanation.
Fair. I mean, which may be
with
good.
Fewer explanations.
But we'll get into it. There's other influences, of course, but it's really... I watched Event Horizon just a couple weeks ago with my kids to honor the passing of Sam Neill, and that's one of my favorite Sam Neill movies, although I like Sam Neill in literally every movie. Even if it's a shit movie, he'll be entertaining.
Or that movie with a bunch of dinosaur shit.
You mean Jurassic Park?
Yeah, there was a big pile.
That and every other theory that Starfleet had doesn't explain what we're looking at here.
Well, I'm a fan of Possession. No, other people make needn't be, but anyway, Sam Neill. Yes, very Event Horizon-ish. Mm-hmm. I watched it recently. This really does not follow. It doesn't follow every beat, but it's...
creepy ship. Creepy things happen. Pretty creepy. People are spooky.
There's also hints of Solaris.
Ooh, yeah.
Alien. Alien is in there, you know. Especially at the beginning, there's a little bit of... A little bit of alien business.
Hilarious.
And, you know, probably some other ones. But no. This is called the Griffin Incident.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? I've been waiting for you. We're here to help.
Enterprise, do you copy?
I know what that was. Okay, see, that actually worked out because I was expecting and actually almost disappointed that you didn't end all those hellos with Peter Griffin from Family Guy saying hello. You know, can you do the Peter? I can't do the Peter laugh. My son can, and you can.
I mean,
Dan.
I sort of. It's like, I mean, now I'm not going to be able.
Well,
to do it.
Yeah, okay, you don't have to.
I can't do it. Well,
okay,
now.
Normally Dan can do it. I appreciate that. When you're trying to do it on cue, he'll pop it in later.
I can do that.
That's a good one.
I can't do it now though.
Max left. All right.
I can be a head chef.
So, Peter Griffin, the Griffin Incident. The Griffin Incident. Then yes. Okay, we'll get to that.
13 strangulations. 8 stabbing. 287 were transported into open space while they were still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this human is full of worms.
Okay, well,
it's
okay.
No.
Since you played that, I want to play something real quick.
I bet you have every right to play something, Dan. Go for it. Okay. The Griffin incident.
Okay, so last week there was a discussion, and I don't want to get in a big argument.
Not a big argument.
But there was a discussion about Magnum P.I. last week.
Whoa. And the week before.
Okay.
And there might be something later in our what I'm now going to call the These Are Our Messages section.
These are our messages.
We'll do that in the second break. But there's a small point touching on that. But we'll wait until later. But Dan, you can. I think you play what you want to play.
Okay, so here's a bit of me last week. Okay, first of all, you got to control yourself, Patrick. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to control yourself. I have a hard time believing that it is this difficult to not laugh.
All right. So for people who haven't known Dan and I for 35 years, this is kind of a hilarious dynamic that we've found ourselves in. It's a bit of a reversal, perhaps, from what people's perceptions may be. But it shows you perceptions are not always correct.
Yeah.
All right.
But you're going to be okay.
Okay. So here it is. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, important to note that laughing was me laughing last week, not this week.
And the talking was from Jesse on the thing too. Both Jesse and Patrick were quiet just now, so they were both very good.
Okay. Shoving my fist in my mouth.
Now here is the Magnum PI song, a bit of it, not the whole thing. Now listen to this. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Listen to what I'm about to do.
All right. I know what you're going to do.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
See, yeah, absolutely.
One last time, and then we can move on.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. Considering I hadn't listened to it prior to doing that, my tempo was pretty spot on, and my key was pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
Considering I had not listened to that just prior to doing that.
Mm.
So that I was considering, I thought I did a pretty bang up job.
Oh, yeah.
I think that I am.
Okay.
Where would I stand?
When you listen back, it's when you listen back, all of that was coherent until Jesse backed me up. There was like one part where it sounded like he said an entire sentence in like one word.
He's like, so what the hell really happened?
He was just like, yeah, you know, I did it good tempo, and then I.
Are you all right?
That's what I. That's that is what I heard.
I am not. Okay. Enough of the audience.
Anyways, point being is
you have all the evidence needed.
I think I was
evidence.
Oh, sorry.
Evidence.
I think that I was much closer. It is my assertion that I was much closer to that song than what Patrick believed I was.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Great.
Okay.
All right. Now let's stop wasting time. Yeah, we want to get to talk about this episode.
Oh no, I put the wrong button.
Oh, I'm so sorry. All right, okay, folks. Yeah, this is a tricky episode because
I don't understand.
Look, let's get right into it. So, real quick, we will have Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before? Our wonderful game that will be in the last section of the show as per usual. We'll do These Are Our Messages in the next section of the show. The next break, Dan. Do we have any That's in Orders? And that, by the way, last week.
We talked about a
That's in Order, but we were confused because they were actually referencing this episode. So That might come up again.
You know, it's interesting is we have a That's an Order in the same vein as last week's That's an Order.
No, because that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We were mistaken.
Don't make me make that an
the
order.
The person who wrote in.
Oh, they were writing about.
They were writing about this week's episode, and I didn't realize that. They were writing about the Event Horizon. Yeah.
Damn, dude.
But last week, there was not exactly the same phrase, but there was a similar kind of vibe thing. So two episodes.
Okay, so that's why I didn't pick up on it last week, it wasn't in the episode.
All right. Well, we can discuss that more in the next break.
There are two duty or no duties.
Oh, yes. Duty or no duty. Great. So two of those. Any Dan can't stands or...
Grinds my gears.
Yeah. Or like, what is it? Dan likes
you know
to
what
dance.
Dan, you know what Dan... Dan-em-ups. You know what Dan can't stand? So in front of my house...
Okay.
In front of my... Oh, are we doing this now or later?
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Bring it on.
You're right in there. You look fully invested, both physically and mentally.
I know that I don't own the curb and road in front of my house. If you want to park in
well,
front
you,
of my...
Well, you own
easement.
It insofar as you pay taxes.
Okay.
You pay the taxes
it's an easement.
You pay taxes unto Caesar.
It's an easement.
Yeah. So I know that I can't tell people not to park in front of my house. That's fine, okay? Mm-hmm. But I feel like there is some kind of etiquette involved with that situation.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, first of all, if your house if you live on a corner house and you have like four times as much curb space as I do, and you're like a relative visiting that person's house, like say, if there's a house that has four times as much curb space as me and is a corner house, if you're a relative visiting that house, don't just park in front of my house because it's easier, just because the way the turn makes it easier. It's annoying.
Yeah.
Fucking go out of your way and park in front of your own fucking house. I understand sometimes you got to park in front of my house. That's how it has to be. And that's fine. I don't mind. But if there's such an opportunity for you to park in front of the house you're going to, that's just polite.
Your neighborhood, you can totally turn around in. It's no problem. Yeah, like it's a quiet little street.
Yeah. Right. And so, but if you park in front of my house, it's like, I'm like, okay, fine. I'm a little annoyed that you could have just as easily parked somewhere else, but whatever. But what I really can't fucking stand is that in front of my house, there is curb space for two cars.
Yep.
And you know how you only fit one car in there? Is if you're a lazy motherfucker that parks in the middle of the goddamn fucking area. So you have half a car space in front of you and half a car space behind you. That pisses me off more than anything, because I'm like, all you had to do was move forward or backwards a few feet, but you were so lazy that you drove all the way over here for 10, 20 minutes and you went and parked and you couldn't spend 5 extra seconds and an extra move to make your car move forward a little bit so another car can fit there. You had to park in the dead fucking center, so in a spot for two cars now only fits one.
I always try to park properly when I visit your house. And mostly I thought, so the neighbors don't complain that I parked like an asshole.
Right.
But the neighbors are parking like assholes.
Yeah, they are.
Or their relatives are.
Or the relative, yeah.
Dan, may I ask?
Their asshole relative.
Did this happen like today? Was this a today thing?
This actually happened like a week or two ago, and I meant to bring it up before
last week,
and I forgot to. So when you mentioned Dan can't stand, I was like getting pumped, heated. The thing is my neighbors across the street are doing a bunch of work on their house, which is fine. But there's been like construction people all around, which is fine. I get it; it's understandable.
Jesse, it's fine. Don't worry.
About it. Yeah. But then, like, but what got me nervous is their relatives started visiting them, and they kept parking in front of my house. I'm like, is this going to be a fucking thing now? Yeah.
They're going to march right over there and you're going to find out they're all sitting Shiva because the matriarch of the family just passed away unexpectedly in a combine harvesting accident.
Killed her.
Look, I understand that these are not real problems, but I would just, you're not an asshole piece of shit if you do this. You just didn't know, but like, please, if you're going to park
just
in front of someone's house,
man.
If there's space enough for two cars, move your car in such a way so that other car can fit in there too. Right. And that's a dollar, not a dish, goddammit.
You pull all the way up to just where, you know, the driveway starts, so
easy
you don't block
peasy.
The driveway, and you use, you know, efficient use of space.
That's the other thing, is the construction people kept parking opposite my driveway, so in order to back out, like, I had to turn all sharp, because there's all this parking on the other side, and they park, like, all bunched around my driveway, so it's like an obstacle course. Anyway, but yeah, and also, like I said, that's a dollar, not a dish. If you give someone change at a retail place or 7-Eleven or a grocery store or whatever, don't put the dollar in their hands with the change balancing on top. Put the change in their hands first, then the paper.
Great. Okay. These are all,
I remember that one from
relatable anecdotes.
Yes.
So now the audience will be like, I've been in similar situations. These guys are groovy.
It's funny because it's true.
I can't wait to hear them talk about the Griffin incident.
Star Trek.
I want to preface this by noting that the reaction to this episode has been kind of interesting in that there's a big split in the fandom, I'm not going to suggest it's 50-50 or whatever, but when you're reading social media, there are a lot of people who were not cool or certainly not excited for the body horror aspects of this episode.
Curious.
And there are other people who think it was awesome that they were doing this with such high production quality, and even though it was following a fairly standard trope, pattern of plot, like Event Horizon, Solaris, etc., it nevertheless was done really well and was used for character development and stuff. So they said it wasn't egregious because all the things that were happening, as horrible as they were, the argument goes, served the character development of the people involved, right?
I am having a nightmare.
So understanding that those are two, opposing viewpoints, and there's probably many in between. What did you guys think, Dan and
Well,
Jesse?
I thought what stood out to me is particularly the scene where Sam Kirk was like getting sucked through the hole, which is a la one of the Aliens movies.
Similar, yeah.
That happened in one of the Aliens.
Alien 4 with the guy who did Jean Reno, not Jean Reno, the director who did Amelie, I think. Didn't he? Wasn't the Amelie director?
This is deeply unsettling.
It's also, it made me think of, it was probably a direct thing to the short story Guts by Chuck, I can never pronounce his last name, Palniak or whatever.
Palachuk.
Yeah, whatever. About the person who like uses the suction from the swimming pool for like sexy times, and then it like sucks their insides out, and it's horrifying and gross.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a direct reference, but it kind of seemed like
so.
It a little bit.
Anyways, at that point when you could see his guts like being pulled through, I was like, is this technically rated R now? Because isn't that like the deal? I remember, for example, there was this Jean-Claude Van Damme movie called The Quest.
Oh yeah, I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, I did too. I think we might have seen it together.
It had the James Bond in it.
Yeah, Roger Moore.
Yes, yeah. Roger Moore.
And so this was another one of his movies in the line of movies, these fighting movies. It's like Street Fighter, before Street Fighter was a video game, you had like these Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, and there was Kickboxer, there was Bloodsport, there was Lionheart.
Right,
and the difference
between
those three and The Quest is The Quest was the only one that wasn't rated R. Mm. And one of the reasons it wasn't rated R, from my understanding, is that there was no blood in it.
Yeah.
And so once you start getting blood and guts and stuff in there, maybe it's the blood combined with the violence that makes it rated R. Maybe just blood and guts being sucked through a space hole is not rated R material because there's no specific human on human violence. I don't know the rules because the people who make these ratings are just totally arbitrary. Well,
I was going to say, I think that's part of, because recall that Star Trek VI, one reason why the Klingon blood was rendered kind of purpley, pinky purpley, was I think my understanding, unless it's an apocryphal story, is that they did that to help avoid even a PG-13 or something. I forget exactly what the end rating was, but there is
ever so logical.
First of all, I forgot. Honestly, I didn't even think to go back and look at what the, they give the little TV ratings or content warnings. They probably said violence or something. I don't know.
Well, then if that wasn't enough, though, there was the scene where Lon stabs Kirk.
Yeah.
He's bleeding and he's pulling himself along the ground. And you see like a trail of blood going. Yeah. So like that's got to be some I don't know. I don't know how they define it nowadays.
But what are your thoughts on it in terms of was it cool? Was it not cool? Do you like this kind of stuff? Dislike it?
I didn't mind it. That wasn't really my issue with the episode. My issue with the episode is there was just really. It was, they sort of wrote it all off as like, oh, well, we don't know what's going on. So Division 12, like the X-Files. Who are the X-Files? Is that what Division 12 is?
They just made it up.
Did they just make it up this episode?
But it's intriguing. It sounds cool.
A lot of people said that should be a spinoff show.
Right.
Yeah. A great premise for a spinoff Star Trek.
No, I mean, it was intriguing. I wish we got a little more build up to it. And the thing is what I was fine with Division 12 taking over and whatever. It's just they kind of use that in place of explaining what exactly happened. Because on the one hand, I liked that there was confusion of what was happening and what wasn't, because by the time like Lon starts stabbing Kirk at the end, you're like, is this another fucking like hallucination? Is this really happening? And you find out, yes, that is actually happening.
Yeah.
But it was confusing because like
good twist.
It was a good twist, but at the same time, I was like, what is real and what's not? I still don't know. When Lon made Ortega's transport into herself,
That was not real Ortega's.
That was not real Ortega's.
None of those people were real.
I know that Pike and and Sam Kirk weren't real. So I assumed Uhura and Ortegas weren't real.
Yeah. And number one, Uno, were definitely not real either.
And so she wasn't actually doing that to Ortegas. Mm-hmm. And Uhura wasn't actually scared of Lon. Yeah. But Kirk, which made it all the more confusing because Kirk was scared of Lon, but that was real. So on the one hand, like, I liked it. On the
crazy
other,
ass Pike.
But on the other hand, it was so fucking confusing.
That's interesting because I actually really appreciated that they didn't make any real effort to explain what had happened.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but there was, I want to clarify that I don't need a full 100% explanation, but it's just like, we're still not clear if Rose Harper was nutty or if the rest of the crew was ill. Like,
what if any of that was even real at all?
Yeah, like, we don't know who was what. All we get at the end is Lon sees Harper at the end. So hopefully they'll follow up and somehow, maybe not with this direct story, but Lon's mind somehow. But maybe, I guess I would have liked some sort of clarity on like was the crew ill? Was Rose Harper nutty? Like, what was what? There was nothing was nothing, you know?
What about you, Jesse?
Well, I see this as more of what Strange New Worlds does, in that it takes Star Trek to something new. Like, you know, they did a musical.
Different genre.
And so they're actually doing like a horror thing, and that's sort of continuing that. And I know it's derivative of other things, and, you know, because this has been touched on by other things before. But it is interesting that it's put in Star Trek in that kind of world. You know, I did think there was a lot of, they made it pretty creepy.
I was creepy.
I was sitting in my chair. I was looking behind me. It was, it was a little creepy.
I thought it was effectively.
I hate everything.
Oh my God. I thought it was effectively produced. And I think I've talked about this before, where we've all talked about this with the use of kind of common tropes, common literary mechanisms. Nothing wrong with that. It's how they're utilized, right? And it can be annoying when they're used as a clear, like, we couldn't think of anything or whatever. But when it's used best, and I think this episode certainly is pretty good, maybe not the best version of this argument, but in terms of using our expectations of, say, like Event Horizon or these types of movies, and manipulating us because we're looking at characters we love and they're getting character development, and it's a shortcut in the background to be like, okay, we know what this plot's going to be. We know it's, they're facing their inner demons or whatever. But that's good, because then we kind of don't have to think about it, and then we can think about how, Spock has made a huge step here, a deliberate step towards future Spock, who's much more about being purely logical and Vulcan.
You're right.
Right? Because, and talking about that last scene, Dan, for me, especially the second time I watched it, on the transporter pad, you have Spock, when they get back to the real Enterprise, you have
people guide you home.
You have Spock, Lon, and of course, Kirk is bleeding on the floor. And
hilarious.
To me, that was sort of representing, Spock looks over at her, at La'an, and he's thinking, okay, I used logic to escape the illusion, and she's fallen for everything because of the emotion. I think that was, again, further reinforcing that.
Yeah, because he did the... That's what snapped him out of, is that poem.
And that's... A, it's proper character development for the long-term character arc of Spock, going from the cage, smiling, goofy Spock to having, you know, all these relationships and drama to now. I mean, in this episode, there were a couple moments where he was like super hardcore logic Spock, which was a very different way of portraying Spock than Ethan Peck has done most of the time before. And so that was groovy, I thought.
side note, I liked, so he hallucinated to Pring, who was acting like she was like, not a hallucination, like she was real, but she got him on a logical technicality because she was trying to help him. He's like, you're just a hallucination. She's like, you do not need to believe that I am real in order to accept my help in opening these doors, right? And he's like, I guess you're right. I can pretend you're helping me along, I can fake it, sure.
But he's probably like, it's my own hallucination, so that means my brain is being super clever and tricking myself into helping myself.
Right, yeah, but it's like working, so I might as well go with it. We didn't... It was one of these episodes, though, where like a bunch of stuff happened, but I don't know what we really walked away with at the end, other than Lon's got some issues in her head. And we learned it was fucked up that everyone hallucinated family, including Lon, but her family was Starfleet, which is why she was the only one who could see Rose Harper, I guess, because that was like the closest thing to family that she could, which was kind of a stretch. This, but I kind of liked the idea.
This was so like intense about like everybody's like personal stuff. It reminded me of like an episode of Discovery.
Like, yeah. A little bit, but with less frenetic direction.
Right.
To answer your question, Dan, I mean, I honestly, we'll go into it a little bit more detail in a bit when we get back, because we do have to take a break in a moment. But I really think the focus here is character development. And, you know, it's a take it or leave it kind of thing. And again, I appreciate people who are not into body horror and maybe not expecting it in this kind of Star Trek. And it was like super intense, especially because when I was first watching this, when Spock's ears are all cut
Kirk is injured.
I thought that was all maybe hallucination stuff at first, but then it turns out, oh no, that's for real.
So Spock cut off, he cut off his own ears.
It shows him he has the scissors in his hand, and he was like, oh my gosh.
But logic has no place here.
It's pretty intense. However, and we'll go through some of the details later on, but there were key moments in addition to the Spock thing. But like
Kirk had some family development stuff.
Yeah. By the way, even Lon, you know,
it was Well, maybe we should go into next break.
All right, we'll do a break, and when we get back, we'll do a break.
We'll take a break.
Voicemails, emails, and such, and then continue our discussion of the Griffin incident. There we go. Be right back.
We have to get out of here now. Come on, let's go. Okay.
It's like everyone took a coffee break.
And we're back.
I never returned.
It brought me back.
I can't shake the feeling I'm in the wrong place.
Do you have you know that little thing where he does that coy little, I could be the head chef. I could be the head chef.
I actually played it earlier, but
I thought you did, but I just thought maybe.
I can be the head chef.
What's unfortunate, of course. Yes, there's that little, he does that little giggle, right? Can you rewind it just a bit?
Well, you're talking about,
he does that.
You're talking about this part.
Wait, hold on, okay.
You're talking about this part.
Which reminds me of him, his character in that episode last season where they played all the holodeck people, you know, the holodeck, right? You know, because he's like
Hollywood people.
You know, he's kind of a Gene Roddenberry-esque character. Anyway,
on that we are in agreement.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the mystery episode. Yeah, when he played the guy. Yeah,
played the guy.
And yet.
So, welcome back, everybody, and
Death 17.
Three times.
Death 17.
That's how you know it's. That's how you know it's real. You got to do it three times.
Three times.
Yeah. Two times could be a fluke.
Yeah, but three times you know.
Three times you know.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Three times a lady. Is that how that goes?
Once, twice.
Three times a lady.
A lady.
You know,
I don't understand.
I never interrogated.
Press this button and you will hail her outpost. Press this button and you will hail her outpost. Press this button and you will hail her outpost.
Button.
Press this button and you will hail her outpost.
To continue my earlier thought, I never interrogated the lyrics of once, twice, three times a lady. Mm. Maybe it makes more sense in context, but now that I'm thinking back to it, I was like,
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Is it like one of them, like
you mean a ghost?
Is that an MFFF four way? Is that how they say it? MFFFF? MMF? Or there's an MMF?
That was unclear.
There's an MMF three way, but then there's like a bi MMF three way, which is where the men are also like, you know.
I'll let you know when I find out.
Having a little fun with each other. Whereas
I would need more evidence before positing a cogent theory.
Evidence in a not by MMF. Like the guys are all like, ew, gross. We're gonna hang out with this gal, but we're not gonna touch each other, even though we secretly want to. But like a by MMF, the girls eventually is like, come on, guys. Like, okay, I get it. You guys are doing a good job at the by part.
I do not know for certain.
Why don't you come over and give me some attention here? I put a lot of thought into this.
So. This is deeply unsettling. Are you okay?
No, certainly not. All right.
Are you all right?
We will get back to our discussion quickly, but we have messages. These
okay,
are messages.
Okay, so you, messages. I was going to say something about Kirk from last thing, but you want me to push that to the end?
Yeah. Let's do our messages.
Were you going to say Kirk is a jerk?
So let's do our messages, and then we'll get back to the old discussion. So
you got Spock's message.
Good. I thought you were going to play the...
These are our messages.
There we go. I even changed the name of the thing. It used to be just like emails or whatever. But
it just so happened that Kirk says...
You got Spock's message.
In this episode. But that's still not as good as...
These are our messages.
Because it's kind of like, these are our Voyagers or something.
And plus he says, our.
Yeah, dude. I can't say that.
That's how you can like tell if somebody's like a German spy. They can't say squirrel and they can't say our.
And she can't say button.
Button.
And they can't say they can't say what was it the jettisoning?
Button.
Star Trek 3 when Scotty is just at one point just obviously intoxicated and it's not clear if they mean the character to be intoxicated. Doesn't seem like it. Just seems like perhaps Jimmy Doohan.
And in case the USS Thorn, listen to Pike say it.
The USS Thor has arrived to tow the ship.
Sounds like he's saying Thor.
I thought it was Thor, but did they say something different in the captions? Was it Thorn?
The USS Thor has arrived to tow the ship.
It's the USS Thorn.
I think I saw Thorn.
Where does it say Thorn? Out of curiosity,
It says it in the transcript, but like the USS Thorn but if you look online, Memory Alpha, it's USS Thorn is a Thorn-type Federation starship operated by Starfleet in the 23rd century, and it mentions Strange New Worlds. It is Thorn. Yeah.
I kind of like Thorn better than Thor. I thought Thor was a little weird.
But
Thorn,
it sounds like he's saying Thor.
Thorn I like because it could be that they have a very nerdy double entendre where it can be both Thorn, as in thorns are prickly and whatever, you know, they'll poke you, they'll make you bleed. But a Thorn is also the name for that particular rune, that particular letter that we don't use any longer.
You know, it
looks kind of like a Y, but it's like a straight with a little side thing.
And it was all nonsense.
It used to be the TH sound. Now we just use it.
Do they use it in Iceland still?
I think so. Yeah, we used to. Now we say th is that th sound, but it used to be a thorn.
Thorn.
So I don't know what the joke is there, but it could be they're making some sort of joke.
My God.
All right.
Oh my God.
All right. So okay. First, we have a voicemail from our old buddy Isaac.
All right. Who's that?
From Trek 365.
Oh,
who's that guy?
You don't get it.
Hello, Wengus, Dengus, and Fengus.
Hi.
It's Isaac here from Australia. I didn't know that other listeners from Australia. Is it Emmanuel? Come over, mate. Let's have a barbecue or something. Although it's pretty cold here at the moment. Anyway, this is your third favourite. No, the Australian that likes you the third most. I don't know. That's how it'd be in my head. Most things do. I'd like to have a go at what? I've heard that before. What the hell? And I do have something else to say as well. So I'll let Patrick edit that around.
We're just going to let you
maybe
do your guess
use
here.
Introduction twice. I don't know. I said Patrick and not Wengus.
You fucked up, Isaac. Rocking the corner.
That sound that Grayson picked last week was from Meet the Fockers. It's when that baby talks for the first time and says, ass. Oh, that is a funny movie. I can't really remember it being a Star Trek movie, but I do back Grayson's instincts. So 100% that's a Star Trek film. 2 weeks ago, Thangus said that Maxwell Silverhammer's off the White Album.
Okay.
And last week he said he was surprised that no one didn't correct him on that. Mm-hmm. And I was too angry to correct him on that because, yes, it's on Abbey Road. Yes. Some people say Abbey Road's the best Beatles album of all time, but it can't be because it's got Maxwell Silverhammer on it. And then when you go and say stuff like Maxwell Silverhammer's on the White Album, you're also denigrating the White Album.
Word.
Because the White Album is brilliant, and it doesn't have Maxwell Silverhammer on it. So I did get angry, so angry that I couldn't even say anything. But I probably thought, hey, you've said a lot recently and contributed to the podcast probably too much. Let's give other people a go, like, you know, the other fan.
The other fan.
it was nice to hear Jack Dorino last week. Anyway, that's about all. That was a bit of a... conscience stream. Thanks for everything, guys. Love listening to your show. Love having you on my show. And let's catch up again soon. We should be together too.
Totally.
Thanks, Agamus.
Yes, thanks, Agamus. Thank you.
Okay, so
Isaac,
what is his problem with Maxwell Silver Hammer? Is it because it's like a Paul McCartney song? Because on the White Album, there is Obladi Oblada, which a lot of people argue is a piece of shit song.
No. Well, that's probably not the that's probably not his argument.
Yeah. So there.
Well, no, his argument.
No, thank you. Real quick, Dan. Real quick. You will get to respond. I know.
I was in the middle of a response, but you interrupted my response.
I was also just trying to head things off of the pass here, real quick, because you are correct with the premise you posed, but I agree with Jesse that is not necessarily. You said if it's because it's a Paul McCartney song, therefore, you know, a Paul McCartney song Obladi Oblada is on the White Album, and so thus your logic isn't working. But we do not know if he didn't like it because it's a Paul McCartney song. He might just not like it because he doesn't like that song.
Okay. But
and I have no recollection of the song for whatever reason.
Paul McCartney has very specific song style. It's some of his songs have this very particular groove to it. Yeah. And you could argue that Obladi and Maxwell Silver Hammer, even though they're very different songs, they kind of have that Paul McCartney floofiness to them.
They do,
And so that's why I'm saying, like, why would you insult the White Album by saying Maxwell Silver Hammer's on there? And to which I say, I think, like, Obladi Oblada, it already has that trophy.
Okay, again, that your premise is entirely based on the idea you've introduced that he doesn't like Paul McCartney.
But I'm positing theories here. Mm. And so because he didn't tell me, I'm simply making hypotheses, not theories, hypotheses about what it is he could possibly hate about that song. Because I think, as far as Paul McCartney songs go, I think that's one of his better songs.
I'm going to have to listen to it because for whatever reason, I listen to all the Beatles, I listen to all the albums, and it's one of them, Berenstain Bears things in my brain where I'm sure when I listen to it, I'll recall the song, but I'm just not remembering it.
It's like the goofiest Beatles song ever.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is it goofier than Obladi Oblada?
It is goofy. But
I like Obladi Oblada.
I do too, actually. I like Obladi.
I think that song's fine as well, but that's the most... I think John Lennon was quoted as thinking of it as like sort of some grandma song.
With the Obladi Oblada, I love, part of why I love it is because it so enrages John Lennon, and it's nothing against him. It's funny to me when, by the way, it's funny to me when I get enraged over something silly, but like John Lennon was just like, I can't stand that. And you see like, he's like playing it so reluctantly, or sometimes I think he just refused to participate. He'd like walk off the stage or something and let Paul do it.
Not to get too deep into this, but like Maxwell Silver Hammer, I like the hammer, the clanging hammer noises, and then I like the little interjections between the little instrumental interjections where it's like they have like a synthesizer going like wonk 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 wonk, don't they? And don't they have like a tuba that plays it too? And then don't they have a thing that goes bang bang? So it's like really awesome. It's like an awesome little instrumental interjection.
You can tell that you know how to play the piano because when the gestures you were just making were like your fingers were all like floppity and wiggly and just
elegant
wiggly fingers. I'm sure we can hear more from Isaac next week in voicemail or text. He can respond to you.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. I thought he was doing it live, but he tricked me. Here, pause that real quick because it's going to come up in this email. All right, you have another opportunity to play that again in just a second.
I was spot
here.
On.
Okay. Continuing, these are our messages. This is the last one. We have an email from...
These are our messages.
Thank you. We have an email from Emmanuel, which is our other fan in Australia. Now...
Our number one fan.
When you look at the downloads, like, there's a lot of downloads in Australia, but we've got two people who are like really good at reaching out to us. And I do hope they get together, and I hope we all meet each other in either mainland Australia or on the old, island of Tasmania.
We should go to Tasmania. Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to go to Tasmania.
On that, we are in agreement.
No. Right. So Emmanuel says, dear Wongus, Dongus, and Gronkless.
Wongus, Dongus.
My shame knows no bounds. I have let you down. I have let my family down. I have let my country down. Of course it was you, Patrick, the man with the golden uvula. Serenaded we listeners with your siren call of Magnum P.I.'s theme song. I didn't deserve Dan sound clips. Perhaps one day I will earn that right, but not now. not now. And this is in reference to when Dan and I started this whole like discussion. I tagged at the end of the episode. I usually put a funny Star Trek clip, but in this case, I played the Magnum PI song with me singing over it. And Emmanuel thought, which by the way, made me feel awesome when he thought it was Dan doing it, because I was like, oh, that's I'm excited by that, because Dan's much groovier than I am.
I just don't understand why you wouldn't sing it again last week, because that would have been that would have been like a perfect like way to back your assertion up with evidence.
There we go. It would have been, but then it might have just ended it all.
Were you just afraid that you would have been proven wrong? Is that what the whole deal was? Is why you didn't want to sing it? You were afraid you were going to like lose the argument or something?
No, I just
by not presenting it, there was no argument to be had because you didn't present it. You were afraid your evidence wasn't strong enough.
Certainly, that's a perspective that you could take.
That's a non-answer.
No, I'm saying that because you could be right in an unconscious way, but my conscious mind is more interested in stringing out the silliness to have little content fillers along the way.
It'll
engage the audience. That's all my mind is about engaging that audience.
I think because
you got to engage the audience.
I don't know.
Captain Picard.
I think you're retrofitting your argument.
Hit it.
All right. To continue Emmanuel's email, on to other pressing concerns. I too am more of a Monkees fan. I said that last week. Because I really do like the Monkees. You ever seen their movie Head?
I have, but only once. I need to watch it again.
We should watch it again. It's a great movie.
It is.
It was called that so the producers could write, quote, from the producers who gave you Head in their next movie trailer, which I heard that story as well. The movie features frames of Viet Cong of a Viet Cong soldier getting shot in the head inserted subliminally. I've heard about that. This is also why I like the Monkees TV show.
It's a very 60s movie.
People say it's silly, but
what did you do?
It's a pretty interesting. Yeah, like they were subversive.
It's out there. Yeah.
Certainly more subversive than the Beatles. Also, Mike Nesmith, the one with the woolly hat, his mother invented liquid paper or whiteout.
He was rich,
as it's more commonly called in America. Go look up that story of Mike Nesmith's mom. His mother was a brilliant person, and she had worked as a secretary, came up with this idea.
No.
All these banks were like, nah, you're a lady. Ladies can't have ideas and inventions. And then she was like,
how do you know?
Fuck you all. I'm going to become one of the richest people ever by producing this actually useful thing.
He was on Portlandia.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Is he still alive?
No, he passed away.
Yeah, he died recently, right? Okay.
It's just Mickey Dolenz.
Emmanuel goes on to say, maybe it's the toilet sangria I made out of fruit cups and yeast talking.
I experienced what humans refer to as a panic attack.
But I always thought Q sticking his hand in the protoplasmic goo in All Good Things, TNG, was what kickstarted life on Earth in the Star Trek fictional universe. Reference to last week where we learned that the Enterprise in a time loop is responsible for humans and everything, right? We discussed that. Go listen to last week's episode. I guess blowing up Klendathu for the Martian doldrums wiped out the dinosaurs or something, but the Enterprise really seems to be blowing its own horn in voluptuous marineras.
You know what must be done.
Oh, that's a long tail on that one. Still going. Also, what of the Voth? And I forgot, this was in my notes, but I forgot to mention this last week, talking about the dinosaur business, because there was that Voyager episode, which I haven't seen in a long time, but where there was the Voth, and it's the dinosaurs, but they're like intelligent dinosaurs, and they're like some aliens kidnapped some dinosaurs and brought them to some other planet. I guess they kept evolving and became all smart. To conclude his email, Emmanuel says, also, what of the Voth, the Kishtik dinosaur men who one heretic believed came from the same planet as the dead Voyager crewmen? I forget the name of the episode, but it's a good one. Okay, love you. Bye bye.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
So, yeah, thanks. So, good points there.
So, the way you introduced that, you made it seem like he was going to reference my version of the Magnum PI.
Oh, I just thought it would be a good opportunity you to be like, you can play your better version.
I didn't say mine was better or worse than yours. I just had a problem.
You're look, here's the deal. regardless, it's up to the audience. They make their own decisions, regardless of how accurate or not accurate. You are right. Your tempo, your pitch was good, and you did it cold. When I sung over the song, that's not impressive. I literally played the song. I was singing over the song.
But did you play the guitar part, or did you just go da da da?
No. I did as much as I could, and I was like, you know,
Did you go da 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 da? Did you do that part?
Well, we can listen to it.
Did you just play the guitar?
Listen to it.
Did you just go?
My issue was with the fact that you kept being like, you got maybe like two notes right out of that whole thing. And every time I started singing, you'd be like, ha ha ha, you're so stupid and that's so fucking terrible, Dan. And then you did what I call a humble insult. Uh-huh. A humble insult.
It's not a humble brag.
It's a humble insult when you were like, see, here's the thing, Dan. Normally, like, you're so smart with music. Yeah. You're so good with music. Yeah. That's why I was shocked at how shitty that was.
I mean,
that's a humble insult. Because it's like a compliment. It's like an insult disguised in a compliment. Mm.
Yeah.
Normally, guys, Dan is like really on point with music, but this time he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, that's precisely what I said. Go back and listen. Now, I'm not gonna beg, but I do hope that next week we get to hear Dan overlay his theme, the actual theme, and then me singing the theme song over the theme, and that will continue this little discussion.
You can't. All right. Trust
now. Now we can get back to the discussion.
Oh,
and
shit.
Dan, you had a point you wanted to make about good old Kirk.
Well, we were talking about because it is a good point that was made about how there was character development, and Kirk had his moment of character development with his family. But if I'm reading from this episode correctly, Kirk is kind of a piece of shit because first of all. Yeah. So he has this silly walkie toy thing, right? That he was going to give to son David as, I guess, consolation for not showing up to his thing, right? Yeah. And he ditched his family to go to this thing because he wanted to go, because he like really liked this guy and he wanted to learn from this guy.
He's a careerist.
He ditched his family to see this. But it seemed to imply that not only did he ditch his family, he didn't tell them that he was ditching them. He didn't even say, like, I'm not going to make it this weekend. He just didn't show up.
Yeah. Because it wasn't like 100% clear, but I got that vibe as well. Or, you know, he was like, I'll get there as soon as I can. But when somebody says that, it means you might be a couple hours late. Not you just won't show up.
He's not really married to that girl.
Yeah.
So he goes,
I just have a son.
Mm-hmm. He goes, Kirk goes, I heard David. And then Sam goes, your son. And then Sam goes, Jim, he's on his way to Epsilon 5. Mm. Carol waited as long as she could. But in her defense, you did say you'd come home 3 days ago. That implies that he never even said, hey, I'm not coming this weekend. Yeah. He just didn't show up.
But also important to note that this is fake hallucinatory Sam Kirk. True. But it's from
his brain.
His brain, exactly. So those are all things that we have to put together.
And then there was also the part where Sam was like looking at, and once again, it's fake Sam, but it's from Kirk's brain. He's looking at that little tchotchke and he's talking shit. He's like, man, our dad was a piece of shit for doing this kind of shit to us. And it's like, that's exactly what Kirk was doing. Yeah. They didn't draw as much attention to the fact that like Sam was insulting like their dad, but accidentally insulting Kirk because he's doing the same shit. They didn't draw much attention to it as I thought they might have.
Kirk did. I thought it was really good. His facial expression changing, where he was like, oh, "I'm like kind of recapitulating the sort of soft abuse that I got."
But it might have been left unclear. But the way that I was reading that lines, it seems unreasonable that anyone would ditch their family and not even fucking mention, hey, I'm not showing up.
And I do think it's important to note
that's how it seemed to read.
The show does not say that explicitly, but it was a similar interpretation.
But the lines, it says, you did say you'd be home 3 days ago. She waited as long as she could. Like, why is she waiting? Yeah. If he's going to tell her that he won't be there, why would she wait at all?
But he also doesn't necessarily know what her constraints are because, again, he's not in there enough. And this is where I really appreciate all this stuff with Kirk's family and him sort of wrestling through this is that this is not new. Kirk was always known as a careerist, and he, even from TOS and in the movies, there was a lamentation that he didn't take the path that his brother did, or right, others who had a family. He and Picard are more similar, and they kind of, like, in the Nexus and Generations, they kind of grooved on that line where they kind of bought into this idea of, like, career over anything. And yeah, that makes Kirk a bit of a dickhead.
I mean, and but like I said, I know this is being redundant here, but, like, it's one thing being a career person, which is dickheaded enough to neglect your family. But, like, if she waited, and then she waited as long as she could because you didn't tell her in time that you weren't going to show up, that's beyond being a careerist. That's just being, like, inconsiderate.
I agree. And I think they seem to frame it as him being, like, ashamed of that, right? And still not able to do the right thing.
And also, you see him at the end of the episode making this effort to communicate with them because of this horribly traumatic experience. But we know that he doesn't, like... In Wrath of Khan, like, his son doesn't recognize him. There must have been this incredible gap where he doesn't even see these people ever.
Well, and that's the thing is in Star Trek II, it's explicit where Kirk says to Carol Marcus, which, by the way, he mentions, she got a dream project. Yeah, she's about to go make the Genesis project, you know, the Genesis device, which, that's the kind of Easter egg I like, where it makes sense, not only in the context of the lore, but in the context of the character development of his potential partner, the mother of his child, is also a careerist in that she's got her own awesome, amazing, universe-changing things that she's going to do.
And ain't Starfleet.
And she doesn't need to be held back by him. And in Star Trek II, Kirk explicitly in the conversation is like, you told me to stay away, right? And so we're seeing some of the beginning pieces of that where Kirk is lamenting that he I think in talking to his brother, he realized, I've already missed the chance to, like, because he was all like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to call them up and I'm going to tell them a story. And then I think at the end is supposed to be like, nah, it's you, sorry, it's kind of too late. You fucked that shit up. You can't, you're never going to be able to do what Sam Kirk does, because Sam Kirk is like, I'm an academic. I'm an anthropologist. I'm going to go do some stuff and have a nice career and contribute.
Sam Kirk is almost thought of slightly chumpy in a way, but he's like a good family guy.
Yeah. You know, good family guy. And I really appreciated his answer because he didn't bullshit. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like, I'm a great father. He was like, no, I don't balance it. I do my best.
Yeah.
And you really believe him. And I agree with you 100%, Dan, that Kirk's shame is in part that he knows he's not doing his best. That given the option, he will always run away from family and connections for whatever reasons. Those are reasons that you can kind of, you know, think about over the course of the Kirk character from TOS onward.
Yeah.
So I have had my complaints sometimes here and there about Paul Wesley. I really like him as an actor. Early on, I was like, I don't know. I think he's done a really nice job in some of these recent episodes. And part of what I liked about this episode was, look, it's a fair aggravation people have that they're like, why is Kirk showing up on this ship all the fucking time?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this episode. He's always just like popping in. He's like, I'm going to go. It's like, excuse me, got to go back to my ship.
When it started with him, I was like, wait, why is he on this episode?
But that's the thing. They made the effort here. This is not him showing up on the ship. This is him completely separate.
Right. I know.
And, you know, so
I know, but it is kind of funny that he's just like, he's always like popping by to say hello. But they're really starting to show the whole like Kirk Spock connection now.
And that's what they were aiming for, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen, but you know, you can presume the producers, whether the fans wanted it or not, I don't know, but the producers seem to be trying to be like, okay, after Strange New Worlds is over, now we can go straight into kind of a reboot of TOS.
That'd be interesting.
With these characters. And I heard some spoilers about, I'm not going to mention them, of course, but about some of the other characters that you may or may not see down the line. Definitely seems like that was one of the intentions. But on the other hand, you know, there's situations like, I really love the Scotty character on Strange New Worlds.
Yeah.
So fun, really interesting kind of pre the Scotty we know. You can see some of the character development there, but it still aggravates me a little. And I'm not normally a stickler for these things.
That whole scary Martian lady just came right through the bulkhead and took it. We can't hurry up with that iridium.
I might be able to send a bolt of electricity, but I don't want to kill the laddie.
but he's so young. And the whole, like, Scotty on TOS was clearly demonstrably older than all these people. And that was part of the vibe where he's like kind of this old, salty, not end of a career, but definitely like mid to late part of his career. He knows his shit. And
at least sort of like McCoy-ish.
But logic has no place here.
But this dynamic is always like, you know, and not that it's much in this episode, but it just kind of came up to me with the Paul Wesley things, that some of things are kind of working and some things still pop out a little bit.
Kirk thought his son, David, was a baby inside of a com console.
I know, it's
and
crazy.
And then he tore the com console apart.
Yeah.
Which I had to dig through there.
That's I'm sorry, happened. Baby. I had to crush that
nut. I was going to say that.
I showed my son.
What happened to my Honda?
I'm sorry, baby. I had to crash that Honda.
I had to dig through there.
If you think you hear your kid's voice somewhere, yeah. you have to find it. Yeah. Like, that's how it works.
I don't know.
It drives you nuts.
I didn't go into Burger King. I watched Pulp Fiction recently with my kids, and my son has been going around saying, like, sorry, baby, I had to crash that Honda.
I was wondering if that line stuck out to either of you that I had to dig through there.
Yeah, it did. And again, this was very Event Horizon Solaris. So, that, you know, the ship was tricking them and they were falling.
And I understand they're like losing their mind or whatever, but it's like, you know, your son David's not a baby anymore. And you know that even if he was, he wouldn't be inside of a console. But yeah, they're going a little nuts.
They did a better job with La'an. Look, it's always hard to convey the internal motivation. And sometimes a movie has more time and more budget and special effects to kind of convey that the people like are literally breaking down. Like, it's not just that they're not stupid for like following the hallucination. It's built up over time.
But it's not too late for you.
Their brain's not working properly. This episode didn't do so great with that in terms of the Kirk character. I thought La'an was, they did a better job with her kind of like slowly but surely being like,
okay,
definitely doing some weird stuff. Yeah.
Okay, well, there's something I want to say about La'an, but like, it looks like we're on a break now.
So. We're about to take a break.
Here's what we're going
to do. So last one, I was thinking to say for something about Kirk, and we had to go to break. Now I want to say something about La'an.
This will keep people listening.
Yeah, that's called a teaser. That's a teaser.
That's a teaser.
Teasing them up.
Yeah. All right. So
artisanal.
When we
jettisoning.
And when we get back, you know, it's only been like 10-15 minutes worth of commercials. You know,
jettisoning.
All sorts of crazy stuff about Bitcoin, you know, cryptos, and
crypto
psychologists monster. That, like, you know, tell you to.
That's our shuttle.
Kill yourself or whatever. After that, what we're gonna do is this is the order of events. We're gonna come back. And then Dan is going to begin the conversation with his, no doubt, excellent point about La'an. But,
The Griffin.
As soon as we can, after that point, we will then briefly do our game, Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before?
Oh, we're doing it again.
And then, Dan, this was, we did that last week. We did it last week again. This is the next
week. How radical.
All right.
We didn't do it last week.
We did do it last week.
We totally did.
No.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah. You don't remember? I played every single one before as an example.
Right. That doesn't count.
Yeah, but I played the new clip.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
He did.
So what the hell really happened?
So anyway, we'll do some more conversation. We'll do Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before?
Can I ask one question?
When we get back, Dan.
So what the hell really happened?
Okay. We will be
happy.
Right back.
Stay safe, okay?
We have returned!
Bridge. Bridge.
Computer, open doors.
Interesting organization.
Thank you.
Sounds. I thought you were going to emphasize what at the beginning, which I hadn't heard while watching the show, which was that the doors were opening all like clackety and janky.
No.
Which makes sense.
No.
Spooky. You want to play one of those door sound effects again? Those are short, right? Because it's clackety and janky. Listen.
Bridge.
See that last bit? That's not normal, right?
Bridge.
Right? It sounds like it's like out of alignment.
Right. Yeah, it does sound like... That's when they go...
Deck 17. Deck 17. Deck 17. Deck 17.
Yeah, don't fuck around with deck 17.
La'an!
That was the best part. When she says La'an.
That's the best part.
Yeah. Oh, he talks over.
Yeah.
It's the best part. Fuck off.
Okay, all right.
Spuggo. Oh, I was going to say about
Dan.
Speaking of sort of like unresolved issues. At the beginning of the episode, near the beginning, Spock is talking to La'an and he goes, "Apologies. Is everything all right at the retreat? You seem distracted." And she goes, "I'm fine." And so you're like, what's going on with La'an? And then
because Kirk's
and then later, little bit later, when they get on the ship, they're like, only two flashlights. And then and like Lon's all complaining. And then Kirk says, he's like, I'm starting to see why you and Spock are perfect for one another. And then she makes a face. And I couldn't tell from that face, was that face indicating like, ugh, we're not perfect for each other? Or what was it? Because like, why was she distracted? Why did she make a face when he said that? It could have been all innocent. It could be completely unrelated. But whether it was Spock related or not, this is all in my head. I'm just trying to figure out what it means. Regardless of the reason, we don't ever find out why she was distracted.
No, we know why she's distracted.
Isn't it because because Kirk's there and she had like that whole like alternate thing with Kirk?
That's not what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
But I think that's
what alternate
I think
thing with Kirk.
That's an additional thing. She, remember, in there was a time travel thing, and she totally like banged Kirk, and he like bought her hot dogs and shit. But that was like a different. That was like
they
a,
all fell in love.
You know,
there was like which episode was what season was that?
They went back in time. I think it was like season two, maybe. Right?
Wasn't it? Something
they,
like that.
They go back in time to Toronto.
It was early
like,
on.
It's like a big bridge. There's like a terrorist attack. And then there's like Romulan time agents and all sorts of crazy
stuff.
Man, I
need to rewatch that whole thing.
That was a, it was an interesting episode. It was one of the first that really like got into the Kirk character because it was,
I centered my mind by meditating.
He and La'an. Now, what I was going to
mention. I don't know what's wrong with me.
This does not necessarily explain anything related to her look that she gave to Kirk when he commented on that. However, I do think Jesse's kind of maybe on the right line there. But the distraction, my understanding is we're meant to just continue the story of La'an's character development from the previous episode with the dinosaurs, where when she broke her hand, she became concerned because she was like, my hand doesn't hurt. Does that mean I'm like turning into like
so
an augment?
So you think it's just related? But it I mean, I can see that.
And that's
but...
not the only, remember last season that she, when they turned into Vulcans, she didn't turn into a Vulcan. She turned more like Romulan scheming.
Okay.
Like,
so
stuff.
Look, and what you're saying like is very plausible and I'm not going to deny it, but at the same time, I don't think there's enough through line between those two things to that specific thing, because they just came back from the conference and we did not see what happened at the conference.
And normally
when something happens at the conference and Spock's like, you seem distracted at the conference. Yes, it could mean what you were just talking about. And it very likely probably does. But in my mind, the way I perceive that is like something happened at the conference that made her weirded out.
I can understand that, but to me, it's like the her whole storyline from the beginning has been an innate concern about her genetic background, and on some people critique this particular storyline and the whole like whatever.
I just feel like it's too loosey goosey presented, too loosey goosey.
But it is a continuation of her character, and in the last episode, it was explicit with La'an that she was like, oh, something different happened, and like whatever I resolved before is like I'm getting worried. Well, and then in this one, you know, last season she turns into a Vulcan, but not really. They don't know about Romulans but you know, she's.
I just expected us to, later in the episode, find out that something weird happened at the conference. That's what I thought.
Maybe they'll do a spin-off show,
Jesse,
about the leadership
concert
at the conference.
Thank you.
Which is, again, it's appropriate in this case.
Yeah.
Now, for those who have,
that's right.
He is her answer.
Tell him wasn't.
If you, we'll talk about that in a second. Pike. I like Pike. He's not a great captain.
I like Pike.
He's not a great captain.
Not a fucking great.
He's the best.
He's like an okay captain.
He's a happening captain.
He's a
radical.
He's not like happening a bad captain. Guy, but you know.
Everything now.
Daxon, he's a long ass.
Your true name.
Long ass metaphor.
You to believe me. I need you to hear me.
Now.
Beautiful.
I do, Dan, want to know.
Do, Dan.
Because, like, he seemed affected by the I know your true name, and he glosses over it. He passes by that. But the way they played that scene was that it was that made him freaked out. And so now I'm like, oh, what's his true name? Is this like a situation like Dan, where Dan goes by his middle name? Is that like going to be the whole, like, at the end of the season, he's going to like all lean into?
Wait, Dan goes by his middle name.
His name is Captain Smike.
No, he's gonna like lean into Una. She departs for her own ship, and he becomes a Commodore, and he's like, "My name isn't Christopher. That's my middle name."
And yet,
my first name.
My name is Douglas.
My first name is Patrick.
And yet,
I've never told that to anybody.
That and every other theory that Starfleet had doesn't explain what we're looking at here.
Patty Christopher
Pat
Pike.
Patty Pike.
It brought me back.
Patsy Pike.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And absolutely, let us know what your thoughts are and how they're kind of handling this, because, you know, it's TV and, you know, they're not getting everything right. They have to pack a lot in. They make decisions, right? They make decisions about, how, you know, what with the resources they have, you know, which special effects, what, you know, all this stuff. And yeah, I'm intrigued by some of that.
Well, I don't really have that problem.
Okay. Very quickly, I think we can dispose of this relatively swiftly this week.
An excellent theory.
Very popular game, totally not ripped off from any other, you know, media. Man. It's brand new.
Your little boy.
Brand new concept we came up with.
Is going to die just like you. At the end of a blade.
Which, I mean, is true.
Bleeding out in a dark corner of space.
That's creepy.
Space is limitless in its beauty and in its terror.
I mean, that's some like intense fucked up shit.
Like Kirk's born to do.
Well, especially because he, by the way, look, I know I'm going to get to this other shit in a second, but he, you know, that was a really good line read by Anson Mount.
Oh, yeah.
And I really, I mean.
Wait, you're talking about space is limitless?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was so funny because he was saying it's limitless in its like beauty and in its terror. But
in its booty.
He was saying that in the context of telling Lon, don't worry about it. You don't need to be like, it's just because you. Just because you stabbed an officer doesn't mean
like, have a drink.
Yeah, you're fine.
You know, I bet you
don't make that an order.
I bet Kirk, you don't have to go to jail or anything like that.
I bet Kirk isn't like so forgiving of that situation. And I wouldn't blame him. It's like
maybe Kirk sets up the accident that Pike deals with eventually.
Not only does she stab him, but she threatens to like torture his child.
No, she's like, not she's not threatening to torture his child. She's giving him a premonition. He doesn't know that, but that's how his son David dies. He grows up and he gets stabbed by a Klingon.
Yeah.
That's
true.
She tells him exactly. She's like, your son will die at the end of a blade, just like you.
But
that's how it happens.
But he doesn't know that. As far as he knows, she's just threatening.
And
him.
Now we got to go back and watch Star Trek 3 and be like, does Shatner have a retroactive? Like, do they CGI in? Like, he's like, oh, wait a second. Lon, you know, this is my Shatner impression. Lon, I used to work with her. I liked her. She was good.
I think they were saying the bolt of electricity, by the way, kill the laddie.
She said my son would die at the end of the blade.
I'm just saying.
And those Klingon bastards.
I'm just saying.
Kill my son.
I'm just saying, as far as he knows, it's a threat.
The man who shot Commander Krug. That's the man who shot Liberty Valance joke, which is, you know. Jimmy Stewart. Just in case anyone, like, I'm not, my impression's not great, but, you know, just in case it wasn't good enough.
It was, I understood that was Jimmy Stewart, yes.
Got it.
Oh, your old savings are long!
Yeah.
Got it.
Because nobody else really talks like that.
I'm going to kill myself.
Got it.
Life would be better if I went around.
About that.
It doesn't have to be the best Jimmy Stewart impression. You can kind of get there because like nobody
else. What's
like,
the problem?
Shaky voice.
It's like a very polite way to address that.
Let's change that, shall we?
I can't remember if it was Saturday Night Live or what, but somebody did a parody of the you know the It's a Wonderful Life, except. Like they have Jimmy Stewart survive, like they kill him, you know, he commits suicide and they're like, well, let's see what happens to the village when you're dead. And everyone's lives are so much better. Like everyone's lives are better. And the angel's all like, oh fuck, this is like not working out the way it's supposed to. Anyway. All right.
My brother.
Good. So this week,
always the hero.
This week, what the hell have I, where the hell have I heard that before?
Wait, say that. What was that?
Jetsoning.
Let's try that again, shall we?
Jim Carrey is apparently going to do a Jetsons movie.
Yeah, that's weird.
Jetsoning.
Seem like Mr. Spacely.
So. Oh. Well, they have him for George. They have him for George Jetson.
Yeah, it's George.
Button?
You mean a ghost?
Okay. Why does negative ions mean ghost?
Because why the fuck not? All right. Where the hell have I heard that before?
Because he was like, you mean a ghost? Yeah, and Spock was like, no, yeah, I don't mean that. Why would you even imagine that?
Last week's sound.
But, I'm sorry, but it just makes me think that in some part of Star Trek, they made that connection somewhere that I missed.
Maybe. Last week's,
they tricked you.
Last week's Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before, which was submitted by our old friend Grayson from the Prime Detective podcast. Mm-hmm. I will play the clip and then we'll see if there were any people who guessed it correctly.
Clippity clip.
Oh, now I got to make sure I click on the right thing. So here y'all go. Clippity this was spot. This was the clip we played last week.
Asshole.
Did you play that at the very, like, did you play that connected with the rest of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I didn't know, because it was just,
well,
like,
no, it wasn't. I mean, it was like, I played them as an example, and I said, now here's this week's clip, and I played it.
I must have zoned out.
He tricked you, Glabbus.
I get it. Yeah. So that was last week's sound, and we have, I think this is the, this was funny. It was just interesting to see the replies to this. I appreciated Grayson's suggestion because I thought it was a tricky one. And I'm going to give main winner credit to this person who wrote us on Mastodon. The person's handle is Jared Roleplay, which I presume they're just into D&D and not into role-playing
Jared
from Subway.
Let's hope not.
There's other. There are many other. If this is on the BBC, there are other Jareds.
Oh, yeah.
You may purchase all sorts of Jareds. And so Jared Roleplay says, hello, Mango, Tango, and Bango.
Yeah. Hi.
I'm excited for the return of WWTHIHTB, a.k.a. Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before? Now, I have zero clue where this clip is from. I will attempt to channel my inner Spock with his heart exactly where it ought to be and his ears intact to see if I can logic my way to a correct guess. First, I don't remember hearing someone say asshole ever in Trek, though I can believe it has happened at some point, which this clip presumably being evidence. Pause for Mango. There we go.
I want to apologize to Emmanuel last week for not playing along. It had nothing to do with Emmanuel. I was being, I guess, would recalcitrant be the correct word? I think it had to do with Patrick talking shit about me singing the Magnum P.I. song. So I was being...
When you all listen back...
I was being misbehaving.
I just went on a talking shit tirade.
And so Emmanuel...
I muted Dan's microphones.
Emmanuel, it had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with Patrick. And I actually felt bad when I went home that night that I didn't...
When I came later at night. Blue. Him.
So maybe one day we should play that one again so I can, like, play along with it.
Cool. All right.
Okay. Cool. That means I don't want to think about it right now.
Let me continue here. I believe he talked about not ever recalling them. Somebody saying asshole in Star Trek. I can believe this has happened at some point, which this clip presumably being evidence. Pause for Mango. Unless
evidence.
Pause for Mango.
Yeah, because he addressed this to Mango, Tango, and Bango.
Oh, so right. It's not like Chris Kattan in SNL is like, you can't have a Mango. Remember that skit where he was Mango?
Yeah. And you were clever there. Because you didn't do the actual accent he did, because the actual accent he did was kind of offensive.
Yeah, yeah.
You did the Italian comical.
I did say
Italian.
Da Mango, which is probably a little offensive.
Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Passable.
Right? Yeah. They stuck us with Columbus Day, after all. Yeah. Still, now we're dealing with all that nonsense. Fucking Columbus. Okay. For Mango, unless this is some clever trick by Tango. But going on the idea that this must be newer... I will guess it's something from the current Star Trek era. It also sounds like Philippa Georgiou, or more correctly, probably Mira Georgiou. But I might be wrong. I have seen everything with Georgiou in it except for Section 31. Which I will see one day, but listening to your review of it was probably way more entertaining than having to watch it, at least going by Mango's perspective from that episode, Mango being
evidence!
Dan. Look, it's a fantastic episode. You do not need to have watched Section 31 to enjoy that episode.
I lose my shit like throughout that whole thing.
Look, we all had fun with it, but Dan is so brilliant. Like the exasperation Dan has with just even having to deal with. And then, of course, he had to get sound clips and stuff. And he was just oh, my God.
Because there were so many sound clips just because there were so many notably ridiculous things.
So stupid.
You're a master of content.
It took forever, so I was so deeply familiar with that episode in a way I didn't want to be. Or movie, rather. Whatever. Long episode.
Quote, unquote, movie. Yeah. Okay.
It was a bad movie.
And Jared concludes his guess by saying, so, because I can't remember hearing Georgiou saying that in any of the content I've seen, I will use the law of mathematics to guess that this is Georgiou in the movie Section 31, probably talking to someone who is a friend or family member or something. I look forward to seeing if I'm right. Thanks, Agamus.
Thanks, Agamus.
All right. Thank you, Jared. And yes, I mean, I might have given away the goose or whatever you call it at the beginning, because this is a correct guess.
You put the goose before the horn.
He logicked his way. I believe him. I don't think he knew this and is just having fun, because that's a lot to write if you're just having fun. I think that was good logic. I like when people use logic when they don't know the answer, but they get there in the end. So very well done.
That's very Starfleet.
Jared, yeah, absolutely. It was
holograms.
It was Emperor Georgiou in the Section 31 movie. I had it written down. I can't quite remember who she's calling an asshole, but she's referencing somebody.
One of those guys.
Somebody's a fucking asshole.
There's a bunch of those guys.
Yeah. So a great suggestion, Grayson, and thanks, Jared. Now we had a few other correct guesses. Other people just straight up knew it. Melanie on Facebook, Megan on Facebook, a person by the handle of Jane Carpenter Freak.
Wow.
Which I don't, they have a John Carpenter stuff. So maybe they're into John Carpenter. Anyway.
Really?
And there was I think those are the three people, other people who got it right. And then there were a number of wrong guesses. We can't go over that.
Damn wrong.
We are running short on time. But thank you to everyone who submitted a guess.
Thanks, Agamus. Thanks, Agamus.
So now I will play the new sound.
Oh, boy.
And you all who are listening now, you have until, you know, Friday-ish, I guess, to send in a guess as
just
to
a crazy idea.
What you think the sound is. You know, give us as much information as you can. who's saying it? What piece of Star Trek content is it? Whatever you can do.
Holograms. Hologram.
We encourage you to send in your guesses. And you can send those guesses to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
I don't get it.
Or @itsgotstartrek on, you know, most of the social media.
You don't get it.
We ask that you keep it under 10 seconds. You can either send us the clip or just send us the time codes.
Okay, let's do it.
Clip it out.
Clip it out, baby.
Look forward to that. So now.
You mean a ghost?
The sound for this week, I'm going to play it once and then I'm going to play it again.
Play it once because you're a dunce.
Yes, that's exactly why. All right, here we go. I'm going to play it. Dan's not going to play any sound effects.
You don't get it.
Because that's not it.
Okay.
It might be one day.
Sorry about that.
But today it won't be. Here is, I'm looking at Dan, here is the sound. Dan's hands, okay, now he's holding his hands up.
Dan's hands.
You know what Dan's doing? He's holding his hands in the air like he just don't care.
Now I'm putting my hands in my nose.
The thing is that he really does care.
I'm going to go.
Word up.
He cares more than anybody.
Okay. Here,
I'm going to speak funny.
Here's the sound, Dan. Okay, here, I'm going to play the sound, okay? Good. All right, here we go.
Kukulkan.
All right.
I know this.
One more time. I figured I could make it a little easier. I'm going to play it one more time. Here we go.
Kukulkan.
Ammonia tornadoes. unless you like ammonia tornadoes. That was a previous sound clip with Geordi. Geordi played by, Geordi LaForge.
Ammonia tomatoes.
Played by LeVar Burton, who, in addition to being in Roots and Reading Rainbow, he played a detective. In the Word Up, in the cameo video, Word Up. I mentioned this earlier on
Word
the show,
up.
But you never know. Maybe people are skipping ahead. I'm like, we don't want to hear all this.
I think this might be one that I can guess.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say because that would blow the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Normally I let you guys guess, but I think I was just
I can't guess right now.
I was like too traumatized. So, yeah.
We guess like next week.
I'll remember next week to give you guys an opportunity. Okay. So send in your guesses.
You can feel this way too if you just let
oh, no. It's like typical cult.
Yeah.
It's cult or drug dealer. Actually, honestly, I wish drug dealers did that.
And you are not a monster.
In school, they're all like, drug dealers are going to like give you free drugs, and they're going to be like, hey, you want to do drugs? They're so cool. No, drug dealers are a pain in the ass to get in contact with.
Yeah, give me some money. You're going to have to wait around.
Yeah, and I'm going to like not give you the right drugs. Gonna give you some other drugs that you didn't want.
Right.
I wanted. Are we talking about something else right now?
No. No. We're talking about this show.
So the Griffin incident. Going back to like the that's an order thing that was apparently from last week. Listening to it this week, I just want to go back to it real quick because real quick. Like because it almost sounded like they were making fun of that's an order.
Yeah. Because they listened to this podcast.
Because of this podcast. Because
I would hope.
Because he goes. Have you talked to him or Spock? She goes no, and he goes okay. Have a seat and have a drink. Okay, have a seat and have a drink. Don't make me make that an order. Yeah. That's like them saying like, don't make me say it. Don't make me say that's an order because it's got a Star Trek podcast would be like fucking shit.
Yeah. You're in the captain's quarter, maybe have a drink.
Yeah. So that's it's really a direct, just like,
Bilana's on it.
We caused the internet to decide that it's famous. Mm-hmm. We have convinced the writing staff of this show to change that to that line because they're referencing us directly.
By the way, any new listeners,
I'm not joking.
There is of course some cheekiness in what Dan's talking about, but it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility because we've been tracking this over Star Trek for many years now, since definitely 6 or 7 years, going back a long time. This is a regular thing we've been doing, and Dan was I think the first to observe because this is his main job is getting these sound clips. Mm-hmm. He noticed that we weren't hearing as many that's in orders, right? Mm-hmm. In episodes, in newer Star Trek episodes. It was always in older Star Trek
And now
episodes.
They're teasing us. Now Pike was threatening us with it. He's like, don't make me say that's an order.
That's the producers. Like Andrew Kurtzman's like, oh, this is going to fuck with Dan. Yeah, Dan's going to be so aggravated.
He's Bilana's like, on it.
Bilana's on it.
And what Dan was referencing was that AI, when you type in Bilana's on it into the AI, it says this is a famous phrase from Voyager. And it's like, or no, it's not. It's from Voyager.
I'm sorry.
And it's like, we're the only people who talk about this. That is not a famous phrase. It's only famous insofar as we keep playing a fucking sound.
Bilana's on it.
What was that, like episode 169 or some shit that we played?
Well, 170 was the first one we did. That was Shadow Play. It was 170.
Well, Shadow Play, I think 169 had a couple.
Shadow Play was the first one where we
did. It was like super intentional. It was like all, like you did like what you kind of do now, super sound effects. I think the episode before, I think 169, I think there was like, you had clipped a couple things and we're like, whoa, that's pretty rad. Like after the show was over, because you know
Danny Long clip.
These are our performative accents, right? These are our
comedy. These are our messages.
Yeah, these are the podcast characters. But when we talk offline, I'm more like, whoa, Dan, that's
and
so
rad. Like, and I'm like, hey, my dad,
Hey,
Dustin. Hey, Patrick, how are you doing today?
My name is Dan.
I talk like this normally.
I wish we were joking. All right, let's round out
Pike.
Finish our observations.
Okay, so there's
Pike cutting off his fingers.
Okay, there's at the end.
Yeah.
There was a scene between Spock and Chapel at the end where it almost seemed like Spock kind of missed Chapel and being with her.
A little bit.
I bet it's because Lon was going so fucking off the wall in this episode. Mm-hmm. He was probably like, I miss how calm you were.
Both
Lon's a little bit like intense.
Yeah, both. Kirk and Spock had scenes that explicitly had them do that classic knowingly lie about being okay to people they pay attention to. So Chapel is like, Spock, are you okay? He pauses. And then he's like, I'm fine. But you know.
He's fine.
He's like, not fine. He's like. But he's telling her, and she knows he's not fine. He knows that she knows, but they've done that like, I've got to do this.
I mean, he's not fine in the sense that he just had some traumatic shit happen to him. But I'm also saying that I think part of him also misses being with Chapel.
I agree, but I think it's even more nuanced in the sense that he absolutely, but he's also standing there talking about like going to logic. And I think he's kind of almost testing himself. And also, by the way, I think it's 100% true that he just.
But logic has no place here.
He didn't want to go to sick bay because just like in Event Horizon, where all the crazy shit happens in the med bay and Event Horizon, by the way. Oh, and
logical.
Sorry to be stream of consciousness, but I don't want to forget that we do have to reference a few of the key Star Trek references in this episode.
How radical.
Like the body bag standing up in the background.
Give him a body bag, Johnny! Yeah! So give him a body bag!
The body bag standing, that's not like a newish concept, but it is a very prominent scene in TNG's Night Terrors, a great episode where everyone's like, also, like, they're not getting sleep, so they're kind of freaking out, and Dr. Crusher is in a cargo bay full of dead bodies on things, and then, like, they all sit up behind her, right? Very similarly.
Is that like the subspace aliens that are tweaking?
Yeah, it was like one of those. Well, there's skin schisms, and then there's Night Terrors is the other one. But anyway, so that's a reference, and we absolutely also have to reference the Ortega's transporter incident, which Dan talked about before. That was absolutely 100% clearly, purposefully done to evoke the transporter accident in Star Trek The Motion Picture, which is really one of the most horrific things in Star Trek. And what we didn't get into too much earlier, but just briefly mention, that the people who argue in favor of body horror in Star Trek commented that this is by no means the first time, and arguably not even the worst time, because there's that Star Trek Motion Picture transporter accident where it's like screaming torture guy. And then they're like, did you get him? Did you get him back? And he's like, well, whatever, what we got back didn't live long. And that's a good thing. It was like really a creepy thing to all of a sudden have in that movie. But then you have the conspiracy aliens. Remember when like Picard just like, they just shoot some like guy and he explodes. You know, remember that?
Yeah.
He like explodes.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy.
That was pretty fucked up.
Right. And that's like, I'm not saying like Star Trek needs to always have body horror, but I'm kind of more on that vibe.
Of course there's the Wrath of Khan with the
guy with all
monsters.
The worms inside.
Yes. And by the way, we can't even bring up like Star Trek does things that are arguably like less graphic, but more sort of emotionally upsetting in some cases. Right. And that's, you know, body horror is sometimes the easy way out, right? Mm. It's harder to scare somebody with just like a premise.
So, you were mentioning earlier about like how Pike is a bad captain. You were saying that because like he sort of like let the whole Lon stabbing Kirk thing slide.
Not just that.
But I mean,
like,
that happens in TNG, like where Data will get taken over and they'll be like, oh, yeah, that got fucked up. Or someone will get possessed by
slide,
a monster.
I must make it very clear that that was not the reason I made that comment. And also, again, to stress, I don't think he's a bad captain. I don't know if it's on purpose or what, but like he's not like a Kirk or Picard who also have flaws. It's not like nobody has flaws. It's just like a lot of what Pike does is like, again, that whole thing with the barn, well delivered, good story. But it's like, you could have, like, you maybe could have made that point like a little more concisely, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. I know you're trying to tell a story, but it's like, you know, it was like that Rachel Maddow thing where she sits down and he's like, did I ever tell you about my old uncle's barn? And Lon's like,
I know your true name.
Lon's like, what? What the fuck are you talking
about?
Ever
tell you about my uncle Art's farm?
Why do you only have 35 acres? Yeah. It's not very big at all.
Yeah, I thought that too. Anyway, you know, it's a maybe a different, a longer discussion to have at some point. Maybe we'll see at the end of the series. Maybe that can be a discussion we can.
There was another scene where Rose Harper was hassling Lon, and she's like, Harper's like, you're not a monster. And then the lights come up.
Monster.
And there are all these dead folks. Yeah. And she goes, you're one of us. Yeah. What does she mean? Because isn't Harper different from the rest of all those dead bodies? Didn't Harper kill those people? What does that mean?
Look, that's, Dan, that's where I do agree with you in that some of those things. I like that they didn't answer the mystery, but there are a couple things where it's like, okay. Well,
yeah, there was a couple of things, because the theme seemed to be like, Lon, you're like me. Yeah. The reason you can see me, you're connecting with me some reason. But then you're also like these dead people that I killed.
Yeah, that I beamed out into space or that strangled each other or whatever.
So,
which, by another reference, was to that, was it? No, was it Night Terrors? You know the one where Troy with the ship where all the people went crazy and killed each other, except for the one Bajoran fellow? Anyway, lots of references, done pretty well. Overall, I was entertained. I was impressed. I wasn't sure what I'd think about this because a lot of the pre-press was people kind of getting upset about some of the violence.
That didn't bother me at all.
I'm not seeking out
I didn't
like
get
that a, kind of
I,
body hoarder.
I wasn't like bonafide over it, but like I didn't have a problem with it.
I appreciate that stuff when it's done well to tell a story. And I think overall, the body horror in here was largely to do that. You could argue the Pike one maybe less so, but it was also hilarious.
Yeah, where when he's cut his fingers, like there was no reason for that.
That look on his face.
That was just there to shock you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm okay with a bit of ambiguity. Mm. For me, it was a little too ambiguous. Not like to the point where I didn't like the episode. Yeah. It's just like I felt like they could have given me a little bit more.
Few little threads.
Someone once told me that refusing freshly made cookies is a clear sign of madness.
And they could have given me a few more cookies.
Yeah. They could have made better looking cookies.
Better looking cookies.
The cookies were fine.
That's how TV is. Yeah. They have to look a certain way so you can actually see them.
They weren't like just standard chocolate chip cookies. They appeared to be maybe a more.
Like, they were all like
oatmeal-y.
Like big and floppy looking.
Yeah, probably fine, but yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of the cookies.
No.
I liked that scene.
They were probably replicated.
And then Uhura, did you notice that little thing where Kirk was all like, Uhura's like, don't worry, I know you're going to be okay. And he's like, well, how do you know that? And she gave him like a little queer little look. And I was like, oh, I think she gave a knowing look. That was interesting. I'm wondering if that's going to come up later or if that was just one of
always happy to be of service.
Yeah, one of those throwaway things. But again, here, she's developing a relationship with Kirk, Scotty in previous episodes, Kirk and Spock, of course.
Yeah.
Nyota!
No!
Nyota!
Just like, of course, the creepy alien.
You set the transporter to beam Erica into herself to fuse her.
Creepy things in the background. I'm thinking aliens like from the movie. The Signs. But you know that where it's like just in the background, you barely see it. On the second watch, I noticed they even had like. They had those like cabinets that have life support suits, going outside the ship suits, hanging up. But the way they were filmed. In this episode was you see like a door and there's like a shadowy figure that looks like a human and you're like, oh my God. And then it's like, oh, that's just some sort of closet.
Right.
I don't know how Spock could keep his shit. I don't care if he's Vulcan and logical. I don't know how you keep your shit together in a room where like bodies are appearing and raising up and then turning into your like ex-girlfriend. Like,
I
any kind of scene where there's like a bed and like you turn around and there's beds, you turn back and then you spin back around and it's full of bodies.
And then those body bags just start filling with blood. And he's all like,
are you okay?
Oh, yeah. Good point. Getting back to that. There's the are you okay scene with Spock. And then there's the are you okay scene with Kirk and Uhura.
And there's their REO Speedwagon.
Yes, that too. REO. That's the third scene.
And then there's the Oreos.
But
it was all nonsense.
But the Kirk one, I like that Kirk and Spock had those mirror scenes that they each in their own way did that. We all know I'm not like totally okay, but like we're like, I'm going to say I'm okay. And Kirk, and this is again.
This is deeply unsettling.
Paul Wesley did a really great job here. He was really sitting Shatner style in some of these chairs that he was sitting in, including that one. But also, I really liked when Uhura was like, are you okay or whatever?
I'm fine.
And he starts shaking his head. He's just like shaking his head. And then he's like, yeah, I'm okay. And again, it was like, look, obviously I'm not okay, but like, I have to say I'm okay because that's my deal.
I'm Kirk.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm okay or not.
Una, please do not! No. Stop!
I did think it was a little lame that, okay, Spock cuts his own ears off or gets his ears cut off.
Please do not!
And then, Pike chops his own fingers off and is all like giggly and hilarious. Yeah. Meanwhile,
hilarious.
Una's just like, I'm gonna just cut a little bit. I'm just gonna a little cut and I'm gonna fall down. Why didn't it? She should have been like a jugular or something. Because she was talking about needing her blood to get out. Well, and then she just makes like a little superficial.
Cuts in her gut.
Yeah.
That's a slow bleed out.
And there was a moment of levity with Una here.
She's dangerous.
You know, I never liked her.
It was like out of left field. Like
she was like, I was waiting for a chance to say this.
Spock's like, she's fucked up, man. I'm fucked up. Like, I never liked her.
Yeah.
It seems sincere, even though it wasn't.
Nobody did.
Real Una. But I don't know. Oh, by the way, I heard recently.
No, you didn't.
Somebody, I don't know if this is true.
Somebody.
Because I heard tell. But talking about bleeding out, absolutely, you're not going to bleed out from like, even if it's a fairly superficial, like deep, superficial cut in your belly, it's still a superficial cut.
It takes a
fat.
While.
But there was some podcast or something, maybe it was last podcast on the left, they were talking about how if you chop your penis off, it's actually very hard to bleed out from that.
Really?
Because people were saying like, when these people do this, why don't they just bleed out? And then some doctors apparently on
scabs up
doctors.
They were just like, there's not enough, like you wouldn't think it, but they're like, there's, it's not the vessel systems there are not really good, and the body goes into shock and stuff. It does things to kind of like hold that. That's like,
don't chop it. Yeah.
Now,
it will guide you home.
Femoral artery, main arteries in the leg or whatever, then absolutely, you're just dead.
And who better to captain the ship if you're damned than...
Cut your ear off, you can peel your face off, you're probably not going to bleed out.
Peel your face off.
Yeah, that's why the whole flaying thing, everyone's like, oh my God, how could you survive that? And they're like, actually, if it's done right, they can keep somebody alive for a real long time.
Those guys knew what they were doing. Yeah.
And just as pointy as I remember.
Vulcans were right. Humans did not deserve Warp 5. They're horrible, flaying, monstrous creatures.
Out to Neptune and back.
All right. Any final thoughts before we close down the show? Dan's thinking. Dan's like, this is my last opportunity.
Our love died because your heart was not in the right place.
Really fucking horrifying.
Is that like a double entendre because like of a species difference?
Yeah, the Vulcans have their like
he's part human, so his heart is in a human place.
I don't know.
I think it's in a Vulcan place, as I recall. On the other side.
I think on TOS that came in, but what she's saying is she wanted him to be more human. She was trying to cut out his Vulcan self.
Like Kirk's were born to do.
All right. So, that apparently being the conclusion of all our
Wait.
Why aren't we floating?
Yeah, great.
Happy.
So, next week we will
take a minute.
Continue.
When your head is clear.
Our coverage of Strange New Worlds.
Oh yeah.
Season 4.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
With the episode episode 3.
Oh yeah.
Hey Dad. Okay. Hey, that's my purse. I don't know.
They're going
you.
To find Lon and Spock. They're going to find Lon and Spock. They're going to find Lon and Spock. They're going to find Lon and Spock.
We will be discussing episode 3 of the 4th season, which is called a human's favorite pet or something like that. Human's best friend.
I've been studying his maneuvers my whole career.
I haven't seen the episode yet, so I'm gonna watch it tomorrow.
My brother. Always the hero.
Saw some pictures. Seems like a goofy, fun episode. We'll see. Maybe that's misleading. Maybe it's horrifyingly traumatic. Terrible. But we'll find out.
We will find out.
Next week. Send in
this next episode of It's Got Star Trek.
Send in your guesses for where the hell have I heard that before.
Blah, 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 blah.
You can write in emails at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. The website is www.itsgotstartrek.com.
That feeling that something is wrong with you.
You can get some fun bonus content on our Patreon at patreon.com/
Sometimes.
It's got Star Trek, and there's like YouTube and Facebook, all that stuff is groovy.
Berger.
Definitely go subscribe on YouTube if you don't mind, because that is helpful. You don't got to watch us or listen to us there.
Can I ask one question?
Because we don't do like video. It's just a static image, but you can hear the podcast. And
can I ask one question?
Quality. Yeah.
It's still groovy.
I'm not sure if Dan is using the audio clip to as a way to communicate, or if he's
so what the hell really happened?
Okay, that's the question. Okay, gotcha. So you asked the question, and without permission, you just went ahead
and asked it again.
And played it. And that's fine. I asked a question
when I wasn't given permission. It was a rhetorical. To ask the
what you're saying is the original question was rhetorical.
No.
So
it's like everyone took a coffee break.
Tune in next week. About this time, you know, stupid. It's stupid.
I'm stupid.
Podcasters are stupid. Like, come on, come on. What are we doing?
You know what must be done.
And seriously, go if you need like analysis or something, like good stuff.
Analysis.
You want a good podcast? There's Open Pike Night. They're fantastic. Let's talk about Treks. You got the Crusher Convo. Mm-hmm.
These guys are all very.
You got
serious.
Oh, there's so
opposite
many,
radical steps.
So many good Star Trek podcasts out there.
Yeah.
But
we're radical.
We're fine. We're good. We're a good time.
You get what you pay for.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Well, one thing we can both agree on is a shared desire to disembark this ship immediately.
We must get you both off this malignant ship.
James.
Whoops.
James.
We need to get this ship now.
Let's boldly go.
Let's boldly fuck this up.
Where did everyone go?
You'll get it right next week.
Stay safe, okay?
This ship is amazing, Spock. I mean, all the freshest ingredients.
If I stay on board the Griffin, I can be free of my fate. I don't have to be the captain anymore. I can be the head chef.
Ah.